Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uggarat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Screw it. I don't know what to say. I went to bed last night expecting a certain result, and when I woke up, everything had changed. It's like we've learned nothing from the past decades. Just turn around and we're doing it all over again. I am upset. I am mad. I am tired of it. And I don't know what's the point of even going on. It's a new day in America. Game over, man. Meet the old boss. Same as the new boss.
And why is this? Did they change the fruit filling in the Uncrustables frozen peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
No, but you know they're going to. Spring 2015, everything ends.
Everything.
Everything ends. I mean, I don't even know if MSP Comic Con, which will be May 16th and 17th, 2015, in the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, you know, there'll be dealers rocking the place, assuming it's on. And there'll be over 250 guest comic creators, free parking, free creator panels. It's like, it's probably not even worth talking about it.
But you did.
Everything ends spring 2015.
You know what doesn't end?
What's that?
These guys, our sponsors.
This show has sponsors, and those sponsors are our best friends. They could be your best friends, too. Our first sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best bar none web host in the whole known universe. If you need a website, DreamHost.com is the host you need to go to. And if you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. Just go to DreamHost.com. Do you need healthy snacks? You probably do. We all do. How would you like them where they show up without you even having to order them, where you just get a subscription, they show up so that when you've run out, they show up again? Graze.com has great healthy snacks, and you get a free box if you use the code CORYS3R5P. That's CORYS3R5P. Your first box and your fifth box are free. If you're listening to this show, you're one of the smartest people in the whole known universe, and you're probably fed up with paying too much for razors. So join Dollar Shave Club. They deliver great blades every month for just a few bucks. No more schlepping to the drugstore, no more overpriced, ridiculous shave tech that you don't need. Razor plans start at just $3 a month. Check it out and let us know what you think. Just go to dollarshaveclub.com/crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. If you'd like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or the Solitaire Rose podcast, we'd love it. Just go ahead and email me at corey.strode@gmail.com, subject advertising. You can also send us emails there. We love to get them. We love to read them. And most of the time, we can build a whole show around a three-line email. So go ahead and email us at corey.strode@gmail.com, or you can call or leave a message that we will play on the air at 952-856-0519. Thanks!
See?
Doesn't, nope, it's over. I mean, you look at what Marvel says. Summer 2015, it's all over. And they've been teasing us through everything, and they're bringing back Civil Wars, which we were talking about last time. And of course,
well, now they're bringing back everything.
Not everything. We'll get to that. But right now, it's just looking at all the news feeds that have been flooding throughout the day, and you would think something big happened overnight, but I can't think of what. Anyways, they're talking like, okay, you've got, okay, the Beast has the five original X-Men forward in time. Of course, right now they're stuck in the Ultraverse. The Phoenix Force, which is a primal part of the universe, is fractured and destroyed. Galactus is gone. We don't know where. There's been incursions in New Avengers and in the Ultimate Universe. Time's been altered, locked. I haven't been reading Uncanny Avengers, but I heard there's a multiple reality team thrown together. Spider-Man 2099 stuck in the present day. And it's just all sorts of weird, insane spider killings in the Spider-Verse. I mean, and you know, you even go back to like John Hickman's run on the Avengers and stuff, not to mention Age of Ultron. Could this be what they're talking about? Time runs out.
Time runs out and everything ends.
Importantly, is this a crisis style reboot of the Marvel Universe?
Well, you know, Marvel keeps saying we don't need to do a reboot.
Well, you know, is it a reboot?
They've said it ever when Crisis on Infinite Earths came out. Mark Gruenwald said Marvel doesn't ever need to do a reboot. We don't need to do a Crisis. We got it right the first time.
I don't know.
That was 25 years ago.
And he's gone.
Yeah.
He's sitting on my shelf now. Well, parts of him.
Yep, and for those of you who think, why does Joe have Mark Gruenwald's arm? No, his ashes were mixed into the printing of...
Squadron Supreme, first print.
And that was a paperback, right?
It was. This was before hardcover, and that was actually done with Mark's blessing. His wife took care of it. They took some of his ashes and sprinkled it in the ink. So I've got Mark Gruenwald's ash on my bookcase.
What a shame that they didn't have the omnibus editions, because there's been a Squadron Supreme omnibus, right?
That would have been fun.
Well,
the question is,
what do you think they're going to do?
Well, I can tell you probably what they're not going to do. And this is courtesy of Newsrama. They probably won't revisit Heroes Reborn. I don't think that'll happen. They probably won't revisit the King of Pain crossover event from 1991, if you remember that one. You know,
that was just four annuals crossing over, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a sequel to the Proteus storyline that Claremont and Byrne did, but
not very good.
No, I mean, probably not even in quarter boxes nearby. They probably won't be visiting the Subterranean Wars. And that was another 1991 crossover, but that was between Avengers, Hulk, Namor, Iron Man, and Avengers West Coast, all of which have since been canceled or renumbered or replaced. So that shouldn't be. Although they really haven't done much underground, like with Mole Man, Tyrannus, or the Deviants outside the Fantastic Four titles.
Mole Man.
Yeah.
Hans Moleman.
Getting hit in the groin with a football. They're going to revisit Lifeform from the 1993 annuals that included Punisher and the Hulk.
Because when you think, what two characters would be good in a crossover?
Mm-hmm.
You think, well, the Punisher fighting the Hulk.
Well, I mean,
that'd be a fight, wouldn't it?
You know, the Lifeform had AIM, the evil scientist. They're around. They were exposed to an experimental virus that continued to mutate and evolved something that becomes progressively less human.
Kind of like me this week.
Oh, yeah. We could go there. Or we could revisit Spidey's Totally Tiny Adventure. I mean, that one was from 1990, Spider Annuals crossover. You can't get in the theme here in the 90s. Void did Marvel Annuals. You know, I mean, granted, it'd be cool to go back in the microverse, but we don't get to see the cool characters we really want to see.
Well, we get some of them.
Yeah, that's true. Well, how about Evolutionary War, 1988? We'll go back a further. I mean, that one covered X-Factor, Avengers, Elf. I mean, it covered everything.
Wait. Elf was in the Evolutionary War?
Yeah.
Not in the big book that I bought.
Well, he was. If you went to one of the Elf books, Evolutionary confronted Elf, wanted to know why he was on Earth, but of course Elf was so irrelevant that High Evolutionary just left in disgust. So see, it's not complete until you catch Elf. And of course, you know, at Evolutionary themes, you know, you could bring back the High Evolutionary. You could want to know what the hell's going on Earth. Or how about this one? You talked about Mark Gruenwald. How about Man and Wolf? That went through Captain America.
Oh, yeah, when Cap Wolf.
Cap Wolf. You get, I mean, even Jim Lee was on the covers. So it's time to see Cap embrace
his
inner beast.
Not everything Jim Lee's been is good.
And it's not a Hank McCoy reference, by the way. How about Citizen Kang? That was the 1992 Avengers crossovers between Captain America, Thor, Fantastic Four, and Avengers, where Kang manipulated time travel, supervillain, blah, blah, blah. Seriously, Kurt Busiek did it best in Avengers. I don't know why we'd want to. Or the one we've talked about in the past, Operation Galactic Storm.
Ooh.
Yeah, Kree and Char getting it on.
Well, and the crux of that story was, would the Avengers kill the Supreme Intelligence? And they split down the middle. And that was the big story where part of the Avengers were, yes, kill him. And the rest were, no, don't.
Although we will give a spoiler here. So that one, way back in 92. We could go through this one that you absolutely adored, The Crossing.
Ugh.
And I mean, other than the fact it got immediately undone by Hero, what if you went to a world 20 years later that, well, maybe kick out the Wasp as a weird monster thing, but what if it was kept going as,
Teen Tony?
Teen Tony. Maybe.
Except he'd be all grown up now. He'd be 39.
Sure. It'd be fun to see. Maybe.
Which is about the age of Tony Stark in the regular Marvel Universe.
And, of course, the last
one. Oh, that time dilation.
Oh, time dilate. The last one, of course, and this, again, this is all courtesy of Newsarama.com. Go check it out, the full articles. Sins Past. No, just joking. Nobody wants to go back and find out that Stacey had even more babies. Although, if I was writing the series, and I know that they're basically trying to ignore it, I would basically say, you know what? It wasn't Gwen, it was a clone, because there were Glenn clones running around. Because I find the whole thing really distasteful. And although they have since said, you know, with all the recon and the Brand New Day, nope, never happened, never last. I thought that was part of the wasn't that part of the Spider-Verse, the Gwen that's running around, or?
No, that is a Gwen who was bit by a radioactive spider instead of Peter Parker.
Well, how? They didn't even know each other.
But it's a what-if story, Joe.
But she's going to be showing up in her own series. People going ape crap over that, and they're just going to love it.
Yeah.
Although, I think
the Spider-Verse, sad news, everyone, sad news. Are you reading the Spider-Verse, Joe?
I've got to figure out, because there were so many crossovers in that, I don't know which I'm missing. So I've got to kind of line them up and then probably run over to the source and pick up the ones I'm missing.
Did you read the issue with the Spider-Girl, the one who's had her own series for 105 issues?
No. Was that Spider-Man or... reading Spider-Man.
And shall I spoil it for you?
Why not? I won't remember it by the time I get to it.
Well, if you were a fan of Spider-Girl, Peter Parker and Mary Jane are now dead. And Mayday Parker and the baby, Ben, are now in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, let's really muck things up here. Because everything ends. I got to admit, I am intrigued by it, because I do love a good time travel story. I mean, I loved Exiles when it was being published. But, it's kind of funny, because, I mean, everything's all getting revved up to see what they're going to do. It's like they're telling these guys, like they did with Civil War, let's muck up as much as we can, because we're going to retool it anyways. Time runs out.
It could be.
Everything ends. Biggest event ever.
Well, I know I've heard on a couple gossip sites and some fan speculation that it will be what they call a soft reboot. kind of like, do you remember Infinity Crisis? Infinite Crisis over at DC, where they had, you know, the big story of the original Earth 2 Superman and the Earth Prime Superboy getting out, and that caused a bunch of stuff, and it was DC's New Earth, where they basically, okay, we're fixing the continuity, but we're not going to go into detail on it. Here's my issue, Joe, and this is what we could discuss. Does Marvel need to fix their continuity?
I never really thought they did. I mean, most of the stuff they've done, not counting Brand New Day, has been just little tweak fixes. And, you know, even they have done usually a pretty good day time of like wrapping things up. I'm thinking like The Crossing, fine. Heroes Reborn took care of it. Heroes Reborn, Heroes Return took care of it. The Pocket Universe, yeah, it's still kind of around. You know, they brought the Bucky from that universe out and she's been running around. But they don't really have a lot of things where they just kind of let it drop and never covered it. I think the best one was the last issue of Ghost Rider that took, what, 7 years to come out or something?
Yeah.
And so, you know, unless they're really just sitting down going, okay, let's see how bad we can really get things going because we're going to use this new Secret Wars to kind of retool things. You know, they've got to be looking at what DC does and what they do wrong, thinking, you know, we really could have an event like this. You know, and up until the Secret Wars announcement, I always toyed with the idea, you know, why don't you do a crossover with, you know, Doctor Who, IDW? You know, they've done crossovers before. I don't see Disney/Marvel paying any money for that, considering they got their own big ass sandbox to play with. But it would be kind of fun, considering, you know, Doctor Who has shown up in the Marvel universe in the past when they had the license. It would be kind of cool the way Death's Head's there. Time for unfinished business, no?
Now, DC, the New 52, I didn't really think it was needed story-wise. I thought they'd sort of ironed out all the silliness. But there have been times when DC screwed things up. After Crisis, things were just a mess. You had, and really, with the New 52, it's the same thing. Some stories happened, some didn't. You know, Batman. Well, we were in the middle of a story when the New 52 happened, so, the Batman didn't change. Except they did stupid things like, there's never been a Robin. Oh, no, wait, Tim Drake was never Robin. Oh, wait, no, it's, or Green Lantern. You know, 'cause Green Lantern touched so much of the DC universe with Geoff Johns in charge, and then, well, the Green Lantern stuff happened. Well, then you've got all this mess of, so does that mean all the stuff with Blackest Night happened, which tied in with all this other stuff? Okay. Yeah. You throw up your hands and you give up. And in a way, that's kind of what DC does whenever they do one of their reboots is they go, okay, everything's different, but we still like this stuff. Like with Hawkman. Hawkman's the one that gives everybody a headache. There was a Hawkman series that was doing okay when Crisis happened. And it lasted after Crisis. And John Byrne tied in with it in Superman. So we know it's post-Crisis. Then sales on it faded and died. So they bring in Tim Truman to do Hawkworld, which is a complete revamp of Hawkman. Okay, but what about the other Hawkman who hung out with Superman and was in the Justice League? Oh, that was the Golden Age Hawkman. Wait, no.
Did you tell he had gold all over him? Gold! Wait, but Wonder Woman?
It's still reincarnations involved in it. Oh,
it was
Jesus,
Wonder Woman's
God,
mom.
Make it stop.
She went back and fought World War II with the Justice Society. Although can't see her, like, making tea for the boys. Maybe, you know, teabagging the boys, but, you know, just Yeah, that was, I mean, it was an interesting Gonza, but it, you know, it's like, I'd like to see Roy Thomas take a crack at it if anybody's still talking to him.
The thing is, All-Star Squadron ended, so we did Young All-Stars, and Young All-Stars was, okay, we have these new characters that take the place of the characters we can't use anymore. Which tied in with Neil Gaiman's Sandman.
You can find them in the quarter box. That's what I did. I haven't read them yet, but I do have them.
I've talked a couple of times where I was on a discussion group with Steve Gerber, and he asked people on the group, could somebody give me a concise history of Dr. Fate since Crisis?
I remember you doing that.
So I wrote it out, and it tied in with things that had been retconned. And not just the Dr. Fate stuff, because you got to remember, Dr. Fate's kid became the new Sandman. He's Daniel. Because remember, Dr. Fate's, the Golden Age Dr. Fate's kid became the Kirby Sandman. And they lived in the Dreamverse there until Neil Gaiman came in, kicked him out. But the baby that was born there was Daniel. So you've got all this that ties in. So all this Vertigo stuff ties in with Dr. Fate. Meanwhile, they'd done four different Dr. Fate reboots, some of which were, okay, the series is canceled. We're not going to finish that story, and we're starting with a new guy. And when I wrote it up, I sent it to Steve Gerber, and he sent it back. He said, you must really love this character. I said, no, I just think that this is a big mess, and it entertains me how screwed up it has gotten. To the point where Gerber said, do you think fans would be upset if I just ignored everything and started new? And I said, I think it would be a great relief.
Yeah, unless you figure a way to tie it in as part of a story naturally, kind of the way Robinson did with Starman. Yeah, there were other Starman. Eventually he brought them all in, but he didn't like shoehorn it or force it down our throats initially.
And the stuff that was just insane, he ignored. Well, what happened to this Starman? Oh, he's been off in an interstellar prison. Now, Marvel really doesn't have a lot of stuff like that. They don't have anything where you look at a character's past and go, that is severely fucked up. Now, one problem they do have that they explain from time to time is you've got World War II characters that are still around, which, to be honest, I think is one of the reasons why they made the Nick Fury from the 40s into the Watcher now, because it's, you realize he'd be in his 90s. It's starting to get ridiculous. You know, Captain America, remember when Captain America came out, it was 1963, and he'd really only been frozen for 20 years. Now he's been frozen for 70 years. And that keeps getting longer. So the only thing I can see is if they do that, there have been some times where they try to do continuity implants where they go, okay, well, we know the characters from the 40s and 50s because we're going to treat those at the time. But we're going to have to create characters for the 70s, 80s, and now the 90s. And every time they do it, no one cares. Marvel, The Lost Generation. Anybody? Anybody?
Bueller.
Anybody care? And sometimes when they do, let's go to Spider-Man Chapter 1, where they updated all the Spider-Man stuff. They brought in stuff from they actually brought in a couple ideas from the 1989 script treatment Stan Lee wrote, where instead of it just being a random scientific thing that Peter Parker went to. No, it was an experiment being done by Dr. Octopus.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the Ultimate Universe where it's this. Where, oh, no, It was Harry Osborn. It was Norman Osborn's company.
He didn't get a microscope. He got a computer.
Yeah. And Marvel immediately ignored it. To the point where the editor said, yeah, it was nice. It was nice. But the editor who approved that, they're not here anymore. You should read something into that.
Yeah.
But I can't look at Marvel and go, wow, they need a complete reboot, unless it's sales-wise. And one thing I will say, DC's sales, the New 52 brought them up. Their average was around 23,000 to 24,000 copies an issue, and now they're in the mid-30s. Joe, do you think fans would get into a Marvel reboot? Because for all of us who pissed and moaned about it, and there's still a lot of people pissing and moaning about it, the books are selling better.
I think it
over
depends.
At DC.
A lot of times, you know, the reboot for reboot's sake isn't necessarily going to bring people in. And if you go too crazy, a.k.a. Lobo, I almost feel sorry for that creator because they're trying. But boy, people are just not going to give them a chance with that one.
Well, you took Lobo from, you know, you basically, I think if you change the character too dramatically, people are going to not, Lobo was a big, burly, you know, the man's man, the main man. He, you know, he was a parody of the dark, tough guy characters at the time. And now he looks like your goth cousin. He's thin. He's, it's not the same character. And the people, I forget, one of the creators, one of the people working on it now said, well, we went back to the original incarnation from Omega Men number 3. No one gives a shit about Omega Men number 3. Keith Giffen drew it and he doesn't give a shit about it.
Well, no, there were a few people who, you know, liked, you know, I think I sold a few at $20 when it began. First Lobo.
Oh, yeah, but nobody looked at it and said, oh, I wish, you know, I really wish Lobo was back like this. A scrawny little punk who had two words.
Yeah, and besides people, it's not $20 anymore.
And the thing was, when you owned your shop, you really didn't go through a big reboot. I know after Crisis, there was a reboot. And sales at DC went up huge, but they spent 2 years prepping for that. And even then they didn't do the hard reboot. It was, okay, some stuff's changing, but not everything. And not all at once. And not all the characters are new. And that's, I think, what caused the continuity problems. Poor Paul Levitz, every time they did a reboot, Legion got screwed again. To the point where now Legion's not even being published. It's like, okay, yeah, it's just, no.
Too bad.
No one cares and it's done.
There's a case of just killing a franchise.
Now, one thing I have heard is some of the books that are spinning out of when time runs out, the big one is there is a Doctor Strange book coming out of When Time Runs Out.
Interesting. I always liked your theory about how he's probably the one who caused it to begin with when he had to remake the universe out of his images or his mind. Talk about obscure tie-ins.
I always thought that would be a fun thing for somebody to play with. And when I read a long interview with Engelhart about what he was planning with Doctor Strange, and he was going to play with that later on, where Doctor Strange was going to go nuts. He couldn't take the pressure of the fact that everything around him was a copy. Everyone he knew was an exact duplicate. And he talked about how there's a specific mental illness where you think that everybody is a duplicate of who they really are. And he wanted to play with that, but, you know, he left Marvel when they got an editor-in-chief who said, oh, yeah, I want to write Spider-Man, Avengers, Defenders, and this book. Well, what about the people who are on it? Screw them. those were the days.
Those were the days, my friends. I'm glad they came to an end.
So, Joe, if Marvel were to do a reboot.
Oh, I'm on it. If it has anything to do with time travel, I'd be on it.
Do you think they should do a, okay, here's Spider-Man number one, Fantastic Four number one, and not just, oh, here's new creator doing it, but I mean, like they did with the Ultimate Universe. Here's Spider-Man's origin, and we're going to reintroduce everybody. Fantastic Four, here's their origin, we're going to reintroduce everybody.
I don't know. I think it's been done. You know, how many more times do we got to see, here's a new universe, we're going to twist and turn it the way we want? Like you said, Marvel doesn't have the baggage that DC did. I don't think DC did. For one, had no problem with the pre-crisis universe. I actually thought it was fairly elaborate, especially when you got a new bunch of heroes in. You know, you just bought out Fawcett or whoever. Yeah, they're in their own Earth, you know. We can use them or bring them over if we want, but we don't have to. So I don't think I would like to see that. I think I'd like to see, like, something come out of it. I could see a whole slew of number ones sales-wise.
Yeah.
But
I'll say this. I was talking to friends who aren't comic fans, but they've read them in the past and they like the characters and they like the movies. And all of them have told me within the last few months the same thing. I am so tired of origin stories. One of my friends loves Batman. He says if he has to put up with Batman's origin again in a movie, he's not even going to bother to watch it. Same with Spider-Man. Do we need to see Uncle Ben die again?
Yeah, that's hard on the rice.
Joe, what's white and crawls up your leg?
What's that?
Uncle Ben's perverted rice. Crickets are there.
God, the crickets are around. This time of year when it gets cold outside, I'm always worried they're going to die.
If Marvel were to do a reboot, I don't know as I'd go, screw them, I quit. Unless they did like DC did, where it's okay, we're completely changing our style. We're changing everything about how we do the books. They're going to look different. They're going to be written different.
Everything, and, you know, is wrong.
Yeah. But it was more than just that. I wouldn't have minded if DC went, okay, we're hitting the reboot button. But the problem was all of the books had a look. They had a house style. And we learned pretty quickly that the creative teams were disposable. One of the things I enjoy about Marvel right now is they're very much creator driven. There's a big difference between when Bendis wrote the Avengers and when Hickman writes the Avengers. There's a big difference between when Mark Miller wrote the Fantastic Four, when Hickman wrote the Fantastic Four, and now when James Robinson's writing the Fantastic Four. I wouldn't like it if I picked up a Marvel book and they all read about the same and they all looked about the same and they all had that house style and creators were jumping off, you know, coming in and out of books in the middle of stories. And if I wanted to relive the 70s, God, I've got most of the comics.
And you could probably get them online with Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah, I don't need to read I don't need to read an 8-issue book with 4 different writer-editors because I've already got Skull the Slayer.
And that was finished up in Marvel 2-in-1.
By a completely different writer.
Yep. See, and that's the beauty of Marvel. They always tried to finish things, you know.
Yeah, but the guy who started the story, it's like you read it and you went, oh, they're going to go somewhere with this. 2 issues later, it's, oh, there's somebody else and they've completely changed everything about it. Then the next issue is a fill-in issue that changes everything again. And then the last bunch of issues are like, these have nothing to do with anything other than the characters have the same names.
Mm.
That's what I hope they don't do. I hope they don't just, because DC, yes, their sales are successful, but you're already hearing rumors that with what their big event next spring, creators are being told already, bring all your stuff to a close before this 2-month event. When editorial moves out west, creators are all being told, your stories need to end in this month.
Interesting.
And it's a multiverse story, too. It's some big things going on with multiverses. I haven't read a whole lot about it because I don't want to be spoiled. But people are already saying, DC's getting ready to reboot. Ugh. You can't do it over and over and over. It's like Marvel doing the new number ones. It's the law of diminishing returns. When they first did it, it's like, holy crap, it's a new X-Men number one. Now, if they put out X-Men number one, you're like, eh, who cares? They do that every 2 years.
Yeah. That's always a danger with comics. And even when I had the store, it was that way. I mean, people were always looking for places to jump off. Not necessarily look for places to jump on. Unless you get a brand new creative team, one that's hot and people care about, you're just not, you know, you just can't change and expect people to jump on. You know, I mean, we talked about this in the past where, you know, I was kind of like, good Lord, everything restarts with a number one. But maybe it's better off doing it that way. Because that way, if I liked what Hickman did and I don't like the current guy on Fantastic Four, good time to pass out. Or pass on it.
Yeah.
I'd say pass out, but I'll talk about that when we get to geeking and freaking.
Oh, we're gonna do that?
No, why not? I think we've driven this into the ground pretty good. So, Secret Wars, no reboot, but I'm buying it.
It's by Hickman, right?
There's a lot of stuff on Newsrama, like what we know, what we don't know. All I know is, I'm buying it.
I've really liked Hickman's
Everything
run
does
the Avengers
really
books.
End, and I'm just not going to worry about it.
I've really liked Hickman's stuff on the Avengers. One of the things that Tom Brevoort on his Tumblr account keeps saying is, this was the pitch he brought us. When we did Marvel Now, everything you're seeing was in Hickman's pitch. All of it. Infinity was in there. The Time Runs Out was in there. The 6-month jump was in there. All that was in there. So it's really planned out. And one of the things about Bendis I like is Bendis comes out and will say, you know what? At the Writers Summit, we have planned out through 2016, and there's stuff coming up you guys will really, really like. But Marvel has those writer summits where they plan out 3 to 5 years. And then the next year they go back and they go, okay, we're on our way to this goal. Does that still fit? Do these things? What's selling? What's not? Okay. They revise it and go again.
And it seems to work pretty good. I mean, look what Civil War. I mean, they tied in the whole Spider-Man mythos thing. I mean, I don't know about One Brand New Day if that was – part of it, you know, I was like, yeah, why not reveal his identity? We're going to recon it anyways. They brought
that. From what I've heard, that was the reason they said we can reveal Spider-Man's identity. We're going to do, you know, we're going to hit the reset button.
And even in Captain America, it wasn't part of this, but it tied into Captain America. And there was even talk about making at the end of Civil War, that's where Captain America died. But they're like, you know what? No, that doesn't really have. It was going to happen. It just happens. It ties into Civil War very nicely, but we did it in Cap's book and it worked fine. And you think, you know, you read it and it's like, they did this on their own, didn't they? They came up with this stuff. It was all planned. And I think that's the big thing is, you know, they're planning that far out and I'm curious to see where it goes and if. More importantly, like when I get to that point, I go, you know what? I got to go back and reread those Avengers again and see what I missed.
That was the one thing when DC was hitting on all cylinders that I loved. When you had that build up to Infinite Crisis, it was, oh, this Adam Strange miniseries? things are starting here. And then here's this series where something's starting to happen. And here's this, and here's this, and then here are these four mini-series that lead into it. I know that people will say they don't like events. They lie, because events still sell better than anything else. But I like it when it kind of starts small and then starts growing in all these other books, kind of like how the Infinity Gauntlet started small in Silver Surfer, and it built for a year. I think it was like a year and a half, and stuff started happening in other books until, boom, here's the Infinity Gauntlet. Or Civil War. There was stuff that was percolating around, and then, boom, it happened in there. Bendis put the seeds for Secret Invasion in Avengers number one that he did. So that was like 3 years before that story hit. And I like it when they do that in continued serialized superhero fiction, because it makes it feel like when it really happens, it feels bigger. Kind of like in wrestling where they say you don't want a hot shot.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about Steve Austin, because even he talks about how he handled it wrong, but he still thinks he was right. They're building up Brock Lesnar as this monster, and Lesnar's beating everybody. So Austin comes to Raw, and he's told, well, tonight, Brock Lesnar's going to beat you clean in the middle of the ring, 1, 2, 3. And Austin says, well, that's the dumbest piece of horse shit I ever seen. Ain't no way I'm going to do that. And rather than come to the arena and talk about it, he just got in his car, got in his plane, and flew home. But he talked about it on the podcast where he said, my problem wasn't losing to Lesnar. My problem was losing to Lesnar with no build-up on a free show.
Oh, yeah, they could have made some serious money on that.
That's something you build for a couple of months, and then you people have to pay for it at a pay-per-view. It's the same with comics. Okay, we're going to have an issue where Hulk fights Thanos. Or you could have Jim Starlin do this story and this story and this story that builds up to it, and it's a four-part miniseries by Jim Starlin, so that when it happens, you're like, oh, cool. Mm. This means something, rather than, we're just throwing it out there.
Yeah. But now it's a miniseries, I think, coming up, Thanos versus Hulk.
Yep, and it's the next part of Starlin's bigger Thanos series that came out of the original graphic novel he did. So,
well, I just finished reading Thanos. Was it a God Vision or God Watching?
Yeah.
Blech. But we'll talk about that later.
But also, now I got to read Starlin's story in Savage Hulk, because that's going to tie into this mini-series. He's one of those guys. He likes doing stuff that leads into bigger things. So, well, if time runs out, I'm sure there will be other comics to buy.
Oh, yeah. A matter of fact.
There's another rumor about a company, not really a company, but a line of books being rebooted. Rumors are that Vertigo, after Fables is done, is going to get a revamp.
I wonder what they're going to revamp it with.
Yeah, that's, in a lot of ways, to me, ever since,
Karen.
Well, for about 6-7 years, Vertigo's just kind of been there.
Yeah.
They're not really putting out anything where I go, oh, wow, like they used to.
No, that heat's kind of moved over to Image.
Yeah. And on the Comic Geek Speak board, people were talking about it. And I said, the one thing you got to do is, what does Vertigo mean? What does it mean to be a Vertigo book? Is it a creator-owned book? Is it a dark fantasy book? Is it an adult book? What is a Vertigo comic? Because it used to be Vertigo was the kind of comics Pat Gruber hated.
I think that right now the only Vertigo one I read would be Astro City in that book form.
Yeah, and that's Fable. Not really.
I'll finish Fables out in book form.
Astro City is not really a Vertigo book. It's a book that was at Image. And then when Jim Lee came over to DC, it came with him. And now that the Wildstorm line is dead, it's like, I guess it goes over to Vertigo because it doesn't fit
nowhere
the DC universe.
Go.
But if they're going to do a reboot on Vertigo, it's going to have to be where you go to the shop and you know what a Vertigo comic is. Other than a place for Neil Gaiman to do a Sandman story every 5-6 years when he feels like it. Well, let's do Freakin' and Geekin', Joe.
Sure.
What are you freaking about?
Well, as you know, it was Box Day for us, and a lot of Box Day is geeking, but I did get one thing that, while I'm happy to get it, I'm a little disappointed because I've been getting the Star Blazers 2199 Blu-ray, which is the remake of the old Star Blazers show, and new animation, much better graphics, more characters in the background, you know, making it more believable. I got volume 1 a while back. I raved about it. I just got volume 3. Corey, guess which volume I never got?
2?
Bingo. It's still on my haven't shipped list. I sent an email to Discount Comic Book Service, and they haven't replied to me, so I don't know. Does that mean it's never going to ship, and I should go buy it elsewhere? Because you cannot find these on eBay. They're limited edition, usually only about 5, well, Jesus, this one's 2,000 were made. There was, I think, 5,000 in the first run, maybe less. So it's not like I'm going to find a hell of a lot of these out there anyway. So, about that. I'd really, you know, I'm toyed with just watching it, but I'm going to wait a bit and just see what happens. You know, maybe I'll get it next time. Maybe they'll reply and let me know what happened. Maybe I'll find it on eBay. Maybe I'll have to go forever, never watch volume 2. Bastards. Thank God for YouTube. I'm a little under the weather today. I had a cracked tooth when I went to the dentist last week. He confirmed it. And so today I had to go in and get it fixed. It only took about a half hour. Numbed me up real good. But Holly went in too. She had a little cavity, and then it was so slight that they didn't even give her Novocaine. So she was in out real quick. I was in the Novocaine me up. Basically, the problem is, as a kid, I was really bad with just cavities. I mean, I got a new tooth. I got a new cavity. It was that simple. And all my molars have fillings in them. Well, what they did back, and we're talking in the 70s, you had a cavity. Say, just make yourself a random square, okay? Take an eighth of that. That's the cavity. Well, they take half the tooth, and then they fill half the tooth with filling. That's how they worked it back then. Nowadays, they're a lot more precise. Like with Ollie's little cavity, they could just, you know, drill it out, and it didn't even hit her nerve. You know, she said she felt a little tingle, but it wasn't even into the nerve. That's how shallow the cavity was, and then they patch it up, and it's gone. With older fillings like that, it makes the tooth weaker. I already had a cracked tooth back when I was in D.C. Didn't know it until I got back. I just didn't eat on that side of my mouth. And it was kind of happening on this side. Every time I took a drink of something, whether it was warm, cold, or lukewarm, it would just, you know, inflame the nerve. And so anyways, he pulled it out. A lot of tugging. Golly, I didn't feel a thing, Dennis. And they refilled it with some type of plasticky epoxy. So rather than having a mouthful of silver, I have the mouthful of off-colored
goo.
Yeah, it's not goo. It's hard. I mean, I can chew with it. But once the Novocaine, you know, it was weird because then I took Holly over to Caribou, and as I'm trying to drink my soda, I bought a bottle of Diet Coke. I couldn't feel my lips, and Holly was like, "Yeah, your lips are around it. You're okay." So I took a drink. Could not feel the soda on my tongue. It was like right on the right edge and then into the back of my throat. Everything else was numb and no taste. It was just weird. So I just capped the Coke and I brought it home. This was like about 8 o'clock this morning. About 10 o'clock, it started to ease so I could actually take a swig of it and taste it. Then I thought, okay, well, you know, I got a donut. I might as well eat the donut with me. I started eating it. And I'm like, wow, that's a tough donut. Son of a bitch, I just bit my lip. Didn't even feel it.
Ooh. Little,
but not that, fortunately, I wasn't chewing too hard. So, but, you know, I did bite off a majority of my tongue. Tasted pretty good. Well, once the Novocaine was out, I was just exhausted. And I've been that way most of the day. But I stayed up. I persevered to make sure this podcast would be taken care of. But that's what I'm freaking on, Corey. Corey, what are you freaking on? What's got you down? What's got you just ready to say, screw it, I'm going to close off the podcast, curl up with a warm pillow and go to sleep for 12 hours, even though you know you got to get up in like 2.
It is the final week of open enrollment at work,
woo-hoo!
Which is the busiest time of year. I am fried. I have been on the phone all day with people. None of them have been real hard calls. It's just very long days. I could tell that I am far more introverted than I used to be because talking to people all day exhausts me. And I really have not had much time to do much of anything other than go to work, come home, write, because it's November, got to write, and go to bed.
What's the number?
Well, today is Wednesday, and I am at 8,400-something.
Impressive.
Yep. Most so impressive. I am probably not going to write after I get done with the podcast. I'm probably going to go to bed. So today will be my first break day, which is okay because I am ahead. Although I cannot take a break day tomorrow, I will have to write tomorrow. And I'll be very glad when this week is over. I'm very tired.
Face it. He's tired.
What are you geeking on, Joe? What are you loving?
Oh, man, I was so happy with Box Day. Saturday, second day in a row, my daughter was out at a Halloween party. My wife was out doing whatever she does with her friends.
Drinking wine.
Oh, you know. And so I figured, you know what? I'm going to take some time off of work. I'm just going to go home and have a little Joey time. I figured I'd stop by.
Joey, Jojo.
I figured I'd stop by White Castle. I'd come home. I'd watch a couple movies, some of the weird things. Like I like to watch that nobody else does. But when I got to the door, lo and behold, there was a box there, and everything changed. I didn't go for Whitey's. I didn't go for anything. I just ripped open my box and just had some fun. In no particular order, the things I read right away, I kept them in a pile. Savage Dragon, $1.99. Avengers, there was 35 and 36 there. Or was it 36, 37? Who knows? New Avengers, 25. Silver Surfer, 6. Original Sin, Guardians of the Galaxy, number 20, last part of that storyline. Speaking of Fantastic Four, 11, 12, and Annual 1. If you didn't pick up the annual, you probably definitely want to. All New X-Men, 33. That's the one that's got Miles, Spider-Man, in Displaced in Time. Really getting into Knights of the Dinner Table. 214 came out. I picked up Deathlok, number 1. Not overt with it. I like Deathlok as a character, but I'll probably give it a few months and see where they go for it. Multiversity, the Just, number 1, was out. Fabulous. Original Sin, number 1, annual. Meh. Uncanny X-Men, Justice League, 34, 35. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I picked up Thanos, a god up there listening. It's not written by Starlin, but, you know, it kind of goes a little bit farther along with the son of Thanos that we, Thane, you know, who we met in.
Yeah, that Thanos miniseries.
Yeah, I forget what it was even called. Yeah, it was okay. Other comics I picked up, I did stop at the source. I picked up one called Comic Noir. It's film noir in comic book form, and it looks like it's self-published. It was a big, thick book for $5. And it says, America's Hallowed Shrines to Stop a Secret Enemy from Destroying the Nation. It's in black and white, and I figure I'd pick it up. It was a dark and stormy night. This opening line cliche fits classic noir and comic noir. Begins that way. From there proceeds in the tradition of film noir, telling the story of a perplexed hero, Harry Rainier, who is beguiled by a femme fatale and targeted by foreign enemies. Ted Field did this, comic artist and writer, lives in Minnesota with his wife and two kids. Source had it on the shelf for $5. I've spent worse $5. Just look at the pile I just talked about. And I also, just for the sheer halibut, picked up Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters. I did not pick up this initially. I didn't order it, but after reading the first issue, I may. It's actually pretty interesting crossover so far. eBay-wise, I picked up the WWE Superstars number one Undertaker variant, number one, that I did not get when the original series came out. So now my series of that is complete. So, and on top of that, I actually found out as I was reading some of the comics I had that I must not have read last month's comics, because there were a few I started reading and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And sure enough, I have a pile of comics from last month that are unread next to my comics from this month that are unread. And now a few of them I can put together, like Death of Wolverine, and figure out what that was all about. So I got comics up the yin yang. So on top of that, while I was out, ran back to Costco to pick up that Beatles Hard Day's Night, while I was there, I noticed they had a copy of WKRP in Cincinnati, the complete series. Yeah. And, you know, usually when I see something at Costco, it's probably a good price. So I figure I'll go home, look on eBay, look on Deep Discount. Deep Discount sold out. $100. eBay. $100 and rising. I was like, oh. When I ran back, that was the first thing. They had one copy left, and I picked it up. We've been watching through it, the season two, because we did watch season one when it came out. And I guess, like you alluded to, they actually put most of the music back in season one. So I'll have to go back and watch that again, because even as I'm going through it, it's like, okay, these are either the original artists or really good sound-alikes. They even have Jennifer's doorbell back. So I was really happy and pleased that I was able to pick that up. It was only $60 at Costco. So transferred $60 from my eBay winnings and just went with it, and I'm glad I did. Sometimes I do win. At the same time, I got in the mail, baby, if you've ever wondered, America's favorite radio station, WKRP in Cincinnati, by Michael Castle. Now, this isn't a typical book about a TV show. This is more like a media history book, because Michael Castle's taught media history at the University of Michigan. And so it covers more the background of how the show was formed, how it was made, dealing with history and the significance of WKRP. I mean, I just like watched the episode where, I think Arthur's wife is pregnant, and she's in her 40s. And so they're all worried about issues like, is she too old to have a baby? Can she do it? Are they too old to be parents? And of course, Mama Carlson comes in her unique way and says, you should think about having an abortion. It's safe and it's legal. You know, crazy stuff way back in the 70s, late 70s. You know, nowadays, probably not blink an eye or two, but so this is kind of,
well, I doubt you couldn't even say that on TV today. I don't think you could say that on TV today.
I don't watch enough TV. I mean, in Walking Dead, well, maybe not, but this book anyways, it's more of a, like a textbook, but it does read. It's got a lot of oral, history behind the scenes. He looks at some of the different reasoning, you know, even as to why the, idiot network started moving KRP around, causing it to lose its audience. And the number one reason is they did it with MASH. They moved MASH around in its first five seasons. By season six, it became a breakout hit. Although they didn't do that with KRP. They basically canceled it after season four. So check that out if you're interested. I just signed up for a Kickstarter for These Are the Voyages, the original series, number season three. Books due out in mid-December. I picked up the other two just right off Amazon. I guess he initialed these as Kickstarters. And season three, just like the other two, are over like 750 pages with lots of photographs never seen before. He's gone into the archives and pretty much made the definitive history of the next generation. So if you're interested, these are the voyagesbooks.com and the Kickstarter, if I can get it to work. Oh, never mind. It's not available. So anyways, you can, I went through it. How do you look up Kickstarters? I mean, would you just put in Star Trek or?
Yeah.
Or These Are the Voyages? These Are the Voyages Volume 3 is what it's under. And you can decide what kind of backer you are. I think he's going to make his goal. I mean, it looks pretty good. So, anyways, final things. There's a website called loveyourmelon.com. Found out about this watching it on NBC News. It's basically people are making hats, scarves, beanies, t-shirts. You buy one, they give one to a child battling cancer. And the local guys under the Love Your Melon Foundation were featured on the news, and they had their superhero outfits as they were delivering these to the various children around town suffering from cancer. And I found it unique that their local store, I will probably, I might actually give these guys a call and see if they want to come to the con coming up. If not, just go to loveyourmelon.com, pick yourself out a nice Christmas gift. They'll give one product to a child battling cancer. The final thing next week. Na 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 na. Corey, what are you geeking on? What's got you humming? What's got you happier than I don't know, a sweetest passage from Christine Hendricks while feeding you pie?
From the time of his hatching, he was different. A potentially brilliant scholar who dreaded the structured environment of school, he educated himself in the streets, taking whatever work was available, formulating the philosophy of self from what he learned of the world around him. Then the cosmic axis shifted and the world changed. Suddenly he was stranded in a universe he could not fathom. Without warning, he became a strange fowl in an even stranger land, trapped in a world he never made. Howard the Duck, Omnibus.
Stupid cosmic axis.
I actually explained to my son, because he was like, oh, Howard the Duck, ha ha ha. I said, no. And I read some of it to him about how basically this was Steve Gerber's autobiography in
Duck
the
farm.
Parody comic. I'm going back. I'm going to read all these stories kind of slowly, taking my time, digging through. Man, the art is amazing in this book. You got Gene Colan. You got Frank Brunner. You got an issue by John Buscema, of all guys. And while I was waiting for that to come in, I actually was digging through. And, Joe, I had forgotten this, and I bet you had too. Who took over the She-Hulk comic in the 80s when John Byrne left in a huff?
I'm not sure.
Steve Gerber.
Oh, wow.
It was his first book back at Marvel. He brought in Howard the Duck for a four-part story that made fun of all the big cosmic crossovers. And I'm reading through these, and it's this beautiful little forgotten gem where Gerber did Howard the Duck type stories, except with She-Hulk and not as caustic as the Howard the Duck stuff. But it's still, I mean, he does one issue where he makes fun of Donald Wildman. He does another issue where he makes fun of John Byrne's version of Lex Luthor. it's like this little hidden gem that you can dig up out of quarter bins because people only really wanted the burn issues. And they forgot all the ones in between that Gerber did that kind of kept the series going. The other thing I am geeking on, I'm not geeking on a lot because, like I said, I've just been, it's work, 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 work. Something opened this week. If you go to archive.org and click on software, there is now the Internet Arcade. Joe, you can play over 900 retro arcade games on your computer.
What was that website?
It is archive.org/details/Internet Arcade. These are the early Bronze Age video games, some of which are ones that you may remember, many of which you won't. There's Burger Time. There's Blaster. There's Birdie King 2. There's Bionic Commando. There's, Congo Bongo. Commando. I'm just going down. You can play Defender. You can play Dig Dug. You can play Elevator Action. You can play Atari Food Fight, which I haven't played since it came out. There's Ghouls and Ghosts. There's ones that I barely remember. I barely remember Jungle Hunt. I barely remember iRobot. But over 900 games. And all you have to do, if you've got an Xbox 360 or Xbox One controller, plug it into your USB port. You use that to play the games. I know a few people who, once they go there, we will never hear from them again. The other cool thing about archive.org is it's kind of the place where they collect old kind of public domain stuff. It started as a way to save web pages, so you could look back over what web pages looked like in the past. But if you click over to video, tons and tons of movies, public domain stuff. There's cultural and academic films. There are old community videos. There's all sorts of just video that's out there that's being archived for people. There's texts. Any book that's in public domain is available on the Internet Archive. But now they've opened up an arcade, and I don't know. Maybe after I get through open enrollment, I'll plug in my controller and play me some Frogger for a few hours.
So you're going to – you admit online you're going to pluck your magic twanger, Froggy.
Yes.
Good man. Now we can get to the root of your problem.
The other thing I'm geeking on, if you follow this, the feed that we're on, you notice that I had a new solo podcast where I interviewed the World War Kaiju folks again. The second episode of that will be up because, Joe, if you haven't noticed, each new episode of our podcast now goes up Monday morning. We are now on a regular schedule.
I know, and that's one of the reasons why, despite my tooth enamel and Corey's lack of sleep, we persevered. And through Corey's unique editing skills, we'll probably make this sound a lot more interesting after editing than the, I mean, we've been having some pretty serious pregnant pauses. I think this is like old time crazy comic. Corey, did you hear the nice lady talking? Oh, I knew nice ladies when I grew up. I heard you interviewed a nice lady.
Yes, I've interviewed the World War Kaiju folks. There'll be two episodes. So the first episode was last week. The next episode is this week on Thursday.
Cool.
The Solitaire Rose solo podcast will be dropping on Thursdays. And then next week, a voice from the past, Joe.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep, I have an interview with webcomic artist Jin Wicked.
Which, I got to tell you, I absolutely love her work. And I will listen to the podcast knowing that she won't be anywhere near me with her umbrella. That thing hurt when she hit you on the noggin.
And I've got some other solo podcasts coming up, including a Doctor Who solo podcast.
Who?
And we're going to do more of the Kirby stuff. I've got the next two episodes for that all set. And I keep wanting to do the EC thing, but I have to have a little more time. Hopefully December I will start doing at least one EC podcast a month. So I'm geeking over that. I also spent Saturday night hanging with friends, and we talked about an idea for bringing back an old local TV show. And as it moves forward, I will give more information about it.
Cool.
That's called a teaser, Joe.
Ooh. And I'm happy too, because I just got a note from Discount Comic Book Service. They're going to send me volume 2 in my next box.
There you go.
Yeah. They said they never got it, but apparently they, you know, you ship, I remember when I had my comic shop, you know, you deal with what you get, and then somebody's got to come up and say, hey, you know what? We never did get Amazing Spider-100. Oh. So.
Well, there we are.
We are. Before we leave, Corey, I want you to write down, first of all, I got four questions you need to tell me.
Okay.
Number one, can you bake two pies at the same time if they have different temperatures and bake time?
Yes, I can.
How about, can you bake a pie and a turkey at the same time?
Yes, I have done that.
Can you leave pies on the counter overnight?
Depending on who's in the house.
All right. And if you leave your Sara Lee pie in the refrigerator instead of the freezer, can you still bake it?
Hell yeah.
All right. All right. Sara Lee recommends you don't bake your pie and turkey at the same time, but write this number down, 1-888-914-1247. That's the Sara Lee Pie Hotline, up and running now. Now, if that doesn't pretty much destroy the rest of Cordy's productivity for the month of November, I got nothing.
Well, kids,
and Sara Lee, if you want to send us some pie, we'll be willing to take it.
And maybe we'll put that in the title of this episode so they know.
Yes.
Well, kids, believe it or not, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for over an hour.
Thank you.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
Is it time to podcast? What? Gonna give mama music? Hit.
Fuck is on a